welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about Friends and How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you?
I'm good. It's another rainy day.
Another goddamn rainy day.
And then we,
Nothing?
We're coming off of a day of revelry and debauchery at the Renaissance Pleasure Fair.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, we go every year, and this year was...
It was a great time. It was raining there, too, a little bit.
Yeah, but we went with a group. There were, like, about a half dozen of us. There were exactly a half dozen of us. And, we usually just go the two of us, but we went out with a group all day, and it was a lot of fun.
It was a great time.
I knocked a lady into the water in the dunk tank, and I rang the bell on that test your strength thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I was like super happy with
myself. You're a real jock. You're a very
I was.
Jocular yesterday.
Yeah, they should have put me up on one of those horses. I could have jousted.
Yeah, you should have.
Like all jocks, I'm allergic to horses.
Yeah.
And
most things.
I'm allergic to a lot of things, yeah. It made me laugh, but it also made me feel defensive. I once saw a tweet that was like, imagine being rich enough to know that you're allergic to horses. But I was a PA on a movie. That's how I found out. The reason I found out is I was a PA on a movie that had horses indoors, so I was not rich there.
Yeah, you don't have to be rich to be around horses.
Yeah, and then we went to Medieval Times, which I went to Medieval Times knowing that I was allergic to horses and thinking it would be okay because it was such a big room, but I was not okay. No. That was a miserable experience.
My 30th birthday was ruined. Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
So next year, I want to actually dress up.
We say this every year. We're going to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we ought to.
I think we are. Yeah.
So they have places where you can rent costumes, and I think that might be better than buying, you know, it's...
You could spend... At the low end, I could spend $300 on one of those costumes there.
Easy. You know? That's why just like for the day, like $50, you can just like...
Yeah.
Have a
fun
day.
Would you do it there?
Yeah.
So we would change... There?
Mm-hmm. I think they have little lockers.
Okay.
But it's like right when you first walk in. So you like it's the first thing we would do is...
I'm all for it. Let's do it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do the whole thing.
Yeah. Friends and mothers, you have to hold us to it. Don't let us back down.
Yeah, keep us honest. But this is not a podcast about...
The Renaissance Pleasure
Southern
Fair?
California's Renaissance Pleasure Fair. This is a podcast about the television shows Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each week. We watched these last night after we drank beer at the Renaissance Fair. So this could be, this could be a loose episode or we could be doubting our notes or whatever. We watch, we recap, compare, contrast, all sorts of other fun segments. Excuse me. Ooh. Allergies. That allergies that I'm allergic to. No horses in here.
Yeah.
Except for this. Yeah.
Little pony.
Little pony, our dog. So this week we're on season 7, episode 4 of both shows. Season 7, episode 4 of Friends is called The One with Rachel's Assistant. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
See, this is where I'm losing it. And then season 7, episode 4 of How I Met Your Mother is called what?
The Stinson Missile Crisis.
The Stinson Missile Crisis. That's right. Okay. We're going to put a pin in the Stinson Missile Crisis. Hopefully I'll learn to talk by the end of the episode. And we're going to jump into Season 7, Episode 4 of Friends, the one with Rachel's assistant. So at the beginning, everyone's over to watch the latest episode of Mac and Cheese, Joey's basic cable primetime cop drama. Buddy cop...
comedy
with a robot. It's terrible. They all take turns like lying. They're like, you can't compliment the lighting. You complimented the lighting last week. I get to compliment the lighting this time. They're like, have to find a handful of nice things to try and say about it. Let's see. Rachel, I think this is after the opening titles. Rachel reveals that Ralph Lauren likes her and that he's letting her hire an assistant. Joey, meanwhile, might be getting back onto Days of Our Lives because they're bringing back not Drake Ramore, but Stryker Ramore, Drake's twin brother. Let's see. Rachel is interviewing her assistants, and one of them is a hot guy named Tag. Yeah. Let's see.
Tag Jones.
At the perk, Chandler's there by himself, and someone else tries to sit in their area, and Chandler's just like, no, and kicks the guy out.
Yeah, we'll get to that under the umbrella.
So. Okay. So then Monica and Phoebe show up, and they have a secret, and Chandler's like, you know, secrets are no fun. Secrets hurt someone. He doesn't say that. But I mean, I feel like Monica and Phoebe were having an AV conversation, and Chandler should see his way out of it.
Totally.
But anyway, he wants to, so they get a secret out of him, which is that Ross had diarrhea on Space Mountain.
At Disneyland, yeah.
At Disneyland, because he ate a bunch of tacos somewhere. I mean, Anaheim has good tacos. I don't know what people are talking about. I always feel like it's a little like
xenophobic.
Like xenophobic when it's like, yeah.
Or like, ooh, bad Indian food. Yeah. Like, ooh, don't eat the tacos. Or like, yeah, that kind of thing is just so.
Yeah. Whereas if he'd had a good old American corn dog or something, he'd be fine, I'm sure. Oh, yeah. Don't give. Look, I rag on Anaheim sometimes for calling their baseball team the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That's ridiculous. It's not Los Angeles. It's Anaheim. It's a different city. It's a different county. It's traditionally more conservative than Los Angeles County, but that has been changing.
It's easy to make fun of, like, the Orange Curtain and, you know, Orange County. Because it is, mostly conservative.
Yeah, but that is changing. Yeah, one thing I'll say, I mean, Anaheim has good food, and, like, it's Southern California, so it has good tacos. You're not going to, like, get... Don't be afraid to eat a bunch of tacos in Anaheim if you're going to Disneyland. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he... let's see. But then it turns out the secret that Monica and Phoebe have, which I've already forgotten what it is like, not at all interesting. It was about Phoebe's coworkers, like, quitting or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had, like, someone named Nancy or something. It had nothing to do with Chandler, so he didn't care.
Yeah, but so he shared this Ross secret for nothing.
But can I interject something?
Yeah, always. That's the nature of the show.
Since when is, like, Ross embarrassed about something like that in front of Monica? Like, they have such a close relationship that this didn't work for me. Like, it seems like Ross would be honest. Like, oh, I had diarrhea that day at Disneyland. And she would, like, they would laugh about it together. Like, they don't hide these things from... They're not, like, squeamish around each other.
No, quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. So, yeah, why would he be so embarrassed?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Let's see. Rachel is torn between whom to choose, the qualified woman or the hot guy. She has a photo of the guy.
She took a photo,
which you're not supposed to do at all.
And, like, used it, like... Yeah, she took a photo of him and then made him stand up so she can get a full body shot, which is totally sexual harassment.
Yeah, it reminds me, you and I watch Project Runway, and we like Project Runway, and they're very, I think, fair and respectful toward the models. But then there's always, like, one episode a season where they do, like, menswear, and they get a bunch of men's models in there, and then the objectification goes off the charts for that episode.
Yes.
And it's, like, I get it, and it's funny, but I also, like, I do wonder if it will age poorly if, you know, at some point, if we take male objectification seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was that one season, or maybe it's a few seasons, where they had that segment on Project Runway where they would, like, poke and prod the models in the garments.
Yeah.
Which we hated.
Yeah, especially because Zach Posen just was very free with his hands.
So I felt like, they got a little too handsy, and then they would be, like, critical of, like, the way bodies looked in certain garments. So, I mean, I guess it was under the guise of, like, judging the garments, but it was also, like, the woman is standing right there.
And poking her, and
Yeah, so I didn't...
Is it... neither of us is gay. But, you know, we watched Harlem on Amazon Prime, right? Good show. I would mostly recommend watching it, although, like, Megan Good is kind of canceled, I think.
Well, I mean,
But do you remember the episode where, because one of the characters is a lesbian, and she lives, and then another character has come out as bi, and she mm-hmm. wants to go to Pride, mm-hmm. and the lesbian character is like, Pride is mostly just for white gay men, but they go to Pride, and the one dude is like, grabs her like chest, and is like, it's okay, I'm gay, and she's like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
Is Zach Posen, I'm assuming Zach Posen is a gay guy, I don't know that for sure, but like, do gay men feel that they are, that it's, I don't want to speak in
generalities.
Is that a stereotype that gay men feel like they have a right to touch women's bodies?
I think so, and I've been at the receiving end of that, and I've been fine with it, only because like my
but not everyone
friends
is.
Are my friends.
Yeah.
But not everyone is, exactly. Yeah. But it's only because we have that, you know, type of relationship.
Yeah. Okay. We got so far off. But anyway, Phoebe keeps the photo, the Polaroid that Rachel took. Even Chandler's impressed by how handsome the guy is. Joey finds out that he has to audition to play Drake Ramore's twin brother. Let's see. Tag shows up and he bought a plant for Rachel and she hires him on the spot. And his first job is to fire the woman that she actually hired.
Yeah. This is an HR nightmare.
Yeah. So Monica made tacos for dinner, but they're very much like gringo tacos, right?
They're actually... we'll get to that later.
Okay. And then Ross shows up and he's like, tacos? And like basically he realizes that Chandler's told this story. Then Ross tells a story about Chandler that is very transphobic. Meanwhile, Phoebe is massaging Joey. Is that a whole scene? What else happened in that scene? That's the only thing I put. And then I got back to... Oh, no. Okay. They're over at Rachel and Joey's apartment with Phoebe. Because Monica and Chandler and Ross are having this argument about secrets. So they're over there. Phoebe's like giving Joey a massage because he's out. He's like sad he has to audition. Rachel is like being coy about whom she hired, you know?
Yeah.
Like saying they or the person I hired.
Yes.
My new assistant as opposed to saying he. Joey's show got canceled. Mac and Cheese got canceled. There's a running thing in this episode where Phoebe and Rachel, like, to shut Joey up, they hug him in a way that, like...
They press their breasts up against him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it started with not knowing how to talk to Joey about the show sucking, so that's,
That was Phoebe's way.
That's Phoebe's
way. And then Rachel does it here.
When they... Yeah, they, like, surround him.
So then Ross and Chandler are telling each other's secrets and Monica joins in and she tells the secret and it keeps coming back to this transphobic thing about Chandler that I hate and I hated this. So Joey doesn't get his show's canceled and now he doesn't get to play Dr. Drake Ramore's twin brother because he refused to audition. Phoebe comes to Rachel's office to meet Tag in person.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe warns Rachel not to, like, do this, go down this path, right? My memory's getting fuzzy here.
Yeah.
Right? There's something here. She's like, don't do this. You're going to end up, like, sleeping with your assistant, is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Joey goes back to Days of Our Lives, Duel, and begs for his job back. And so they do bring him back as Dr. Drake Ramore, but he's in a coma and his face is all bandaged up.
Yeah.
And they get someone else to play Stryker.
Yeah.
And then at the perk, everything is tense because everyone has shared each other's secrets. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I wrote that... What is the tag at the end? I wrote that it has to do with Tag because I was like, it's a tag about Tag. But now I can't remember what actually even happens.
Well, Rachel tells Phoebe that Tag's gay and tells Tag that Phoebe's gay.
Right.
So another, like, gay joke.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sorry for such a brief recap, but
Did you notice who this was directed by?
No.
David Schwimmer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's gone on to direct films. At least one film. He made a film called Trust. Which I've said before that David Schwimmer is very active in like anti like sex trafficking and, mm-hmm. and anti like child sex and child and keeping kids safe. And there's a movie called Trust about a girl who gets kind of like, I guess, kind of catfished by an older man or whatever. Anyway, he played the father, but he directed it.
Okay.
I feel like he's directed another movie. Oh, he directed Run, Fat Boy, Run with Simon Pegg. I never saw that. New Car Smell? Americana? Nevermind Nirvana?
They all sound like winners.
Yeah. Since You've Been Gone? Anyway, but yeah, 10 episodes of Friends. This isn't even his first one, did he? This is the second. He directed one in season 6, too.
Not noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
Any other stray observations?
No.
Let's go with Friends' funniest moments.
Okay.
And here's one. So I wrote this down, and it made me laugh just now, but again, my memory's a little hazy.
Yeah. Much like the hazy IPAs you were chugging all day.
I was not chugging hazy IPAs all day. People like hazy IPAs, that's fine.
I do.
I know you do. A lot of people do. I think I'm kind of a West Coast beer snob, you know?
Okay.
And hazy IPAs are New England based, so...
So you don't like anything from New England?
I'm just saying, West Coast IPAs are the best, you know? Stone, Bear Republic,
I like Lagunitas. Racer 5?
Yeah, Racer 5 from Bear Republic.
That's the best great, beers but I also ever. Like a hazy.
Okay, yeah. That's fine. I don't like it.
All right, I don't like you.
Well, friends and mothers, what do you think about hazy IPAs?
Yeah, what's your favorite style type of beer?
Yeah, yeah. Beer styles and also I wonder about your snobberies too. Like what are you a snob about?
We're kind of like wine snobs. Like absolutely, we don't want to be, but like if we have like a supermarket like basic wine, like we kind of look at each other like, ooh, you're drinking
Yellowtail.
Yellowtail, yeah, we kind of. I've been getting into stouts lately. I like stouts.
Yeah.
I love a nitro stout.
Oof.
But yeah, just like a classic Guinness goes a long way.
But I don't like a milkshake stout.
I do.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it has some like lactic acid. It's not actually milk. It's just like acids.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could do that.
So that is all that is to say that I wrote down a line that I still think is funny, but I don't remember who says either of these things.
Okay.
One person says, what do you think your favorite animal says about you? And the other person says, you mean behind my back?
Yes. I feel like, I think Rachel's involved.
Is Rachel trying out her interview questions on Phoebe?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes, I
think so. Like, these are the things I'm going to ask my potential assistant?
Yeah.
What do you think your favorite animal says about you? You mean behind my back?
Yes. Okay, when Joey is talking to the casting director on Days of Our Lives, and he said, wow, it's crazy to be back here. These halls look smaller than they used to. And the casting director's like, Joey, it's a different building.
Yeah. So then that leads into mine, which is when Joey is like telling the guy off for making him audition, and he says, sitting up here in your small hall building.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Phoebe says to Tag, because Tag is like, Phoebe, I really like that name. Like, clearly he's like into her, and she's like, you like that? You should hear my phone number.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Anything else? Because I have one more.
No, that's all I have.
Well, I just like the idea that like these gringa tacos are what she calls ground beef smileys. Yeah. Because they're like the hard shell.
Yeah. And ground beef is like... that's...
Excuse me.
Ground beef taco is like a gringo taco. That's what yes. you get at Taco Bell. You get at Tito's.
Yes.
Still never been to Tito's. Lived in Los Angeles. Lived in the Southland for 17 years?
Yeah. My family years? And I used to go all the time because we'd go to Venice Beach Boardwalk, and it was always like what we'd get on the way home.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been to Tito's Tacos. That's another call to action. What is a famous eatery in a place that you live that you've never been to? Because I have like...
I have quite a few.
I have quite a few in Los Angeles. And we're like food people too. But it's crazy that like the one that I'm like most embarrassed about, I've never been to the Apple Pan. Which, I mean, most people listening don't know what that is. But yeah. People who are from the Southland or know it like are going like, what? David, you like burgers? You've never been to the Apple Pan?
I've never been to Roscoe's, and I know
that. Oh, I've never been to Roscoe's either, yeah.
I know that's a, you know, a staple.
Yeah,
and I've also because I'm a vegetarian, I haven't been to either of the French dips, Coles or Philippe's.
Well, you've been to Coles.
We've been there. To Coles multiple times. Yeah, I guess haven't had the French there are a lot dip. Of yeah. things that I haven't eaten.
Yeah.
Just
that's one
because of my
Over on my other podcast, Battleship Retention, Scott Nye and I had the, I can't remember if this was on the air, maybe it was on a Patreon, the In-N-Out versus Shake Shack discussion. Mm-hmm. We're both In-N-Out people. Shake Shack's great, but we're both In-N-Out people, and a big part of it, Scott is like, In-N-Out is, like, Shake Shack's expensive, and In-N-Out is like, of the people.
Of the people, for the people.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm... Sadly, when it comes to the Los Angeles French dip thing, I'm the opposite. I'm the Coles guy, even though that sandwich is at least twice as much as the one at Philippe's.
Really?
Because okay. Coles is a sit-down restaurant.
And it's kind of fancy.
It's kind of, yeah, it's like old-timey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been there forever, and now it's like a throwback bar that you sit down and order, whereas Philippe's is just a stand that you line up and you walk up and you order at the counter. But
like sawdust on the floor?
I think. I've only been to Philippe's once, and I was like, that's good, but... Coles I've been to multiple times because I really love it. But yeah, that is, I'm a snob, I guess. This is me being a snob.
I love In-N-Out. I love like the, you know, secret menu. I love like all the fun ways to like make it your own.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else, there was something else I was just telling you that I was like, oh, I think I'm a snob about, but I can't remember what it was now. I don't know. I'm a snob about a lot of things.
Yeah, you are.
But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with having high standards in certain areas. Okay. Friends with Naked Fashion? I got nothing.
Everyone's hair looks great, I've noticed. And I liked Rachel when she's wearing like a green like vest, like sweater vest and a plaid skirt. It's like, I think, the first day that Tag shows up for work.
Okay.
She looks great. Props to the props department. We always like when they use like actual like New York staples. So they had some Ray Berry pizza.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then at one point, Rachel gets like a Ben and Jerry's pint from the freezer and it's low fat ice cream. No flavor. Just low fat ice cream.
Well, you used to eat Halo Top.
I used to eat Halo Top, which now when I think about it.
Yeah. I know we've talked about it, I'm sure we've talked about it on the podcast before. I know we've talked about it in The Good Place. Ted Danson's character and his like he's fascinated with human beings' fascination with frozen yogurt.
Yeah.
And he says like there's something so human about taking something good and making it a little bit worse so that you can have more of it.
Truly. Yeah.
I've tried to keep that in mind. Like that's why I like when I'm cooking, like when I make a cream sauce for my pasta, I don't use light sour cream. I use regular sour cream, but I'm also like not overdoing it.
Yes, I agree with that in most cases, but there's something so satisfying about like having a pint of ice cream and eating the whole thing without any sort of like repercussions. And I think that's what Halo Top did for me. Like I know it's not the real thing, yeah. and it's much more like airy. But if you eat the whole thing, you don't feel terrible afterwards. And I do like frozen yogurt. I think it's different, but I like it.
I like it okay. Yeah.
I think because I like soft serve ice cream, it's similar to soft serve ice cream. Right. But I think it's good.
There's one frozen yogurt I really liked. When we lived in North Hollywood, I guess this place was actually in Studio City, maybe? Mm-hmm. Chill? Remember Chill?
Yeah, we loved Chill.
We loved Chill, and they had, they had a flavor called Tundra Taro. It was like taro-based frozen yogurt. Good. It was really good.
I really like a place called Humphrey Yogurt.
People know Humphrey Yogurt now.
People know it because Meghan Markle, the princess of, or Duchess of Wales, whatever. Okay.
I don't know.
Not Duchess of Wales. I don't know.
She could be. I don't know.
No. I think that's Kate.
Oh, okay.
At any rate, she worked there as a teen. there was a mazel to the Magna, but I missed it.
Oh, okay. Well, should we take a quick break?
We didn't go under the umbrella.
Didn't we?
No.
You were just talking about ice cream and stuff.
I was talking about props.
Props. Oh, props are the prop. Okay, yeah, let's go under the umbrella. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we already talked about being rude to other customers who sit in their spots.
Right.
Transphobia, homophobia. There was like a joke about Monica like eating the macaroni off of like some craft project.
Yeah.
So a little bit of fat shamey there. Right?
Yeah.
And that's all that I had for that.
Okay. Now we can take a quick break?
Now we can.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, we're back from our quick break, and we're ready to talk about How I Met Your Mother, Season 7, Episode 4, The Stinson Missile Crisis. Natalie, take it away. What happened in this episode?
Okay, so we start off with not Ted talking to his kids, but Robin's in therapy.
Yeah.
Which is great.
With Cal Penn.
With Cal Penn as a therapist. Yeah. And she's in therapy, not because she wants to improve herself, but it's because it's court mandated because she assaulted a woman.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that story very slowly throughout the episode.
Yeah.
So we learned that Robin like watched Barney woo Nora like from the office, because that's how I forgot how like Nora came into our being, but it's like she worked with Robin.
Yeah, because they did like the anti-Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. Yes.
It was all the gals from the office.
Yes. Yeah, and then the other gals like gave up on their like wearing purple and like Yeah, she's watching all of these gestures, flowers, balloons, chocolates, like over the top, you know, romantic gestures, and slowly it's like driving her a little mad. Barney is wearing the ducky tie, and it's kind of working for Nora and Robin. We know that Robin is, you know, secretly in love with Barney still, mm-hmm. so she like is very upset, gets drunk under her desk. Right?
Right, yeah, which, I mean,
with a bottle of wine.
Which, like,
and the chocolates that Barney sent to Nora.
This is kind of under the umbrella, but that's a meme. I don't know if you've seen it, but Robin drinking under the desk is...
Oh, okay.
I've seen it all the time. It's like, me dealing with blah, blah, blah.
Oh, okay. Or,
you know,
okay.
Yeah, that's a common meme.
As Robin's in therapy, she keeps kind of, like, beating around the bush a little bit. Like Cal Penn wants to get to the assault, but she keeps talking about Marshall and Lily to kind of like get off the subject, to kind of change the subject. So Marshall and Lily's thing is like they have this OBGYN named Dr. Sonia.
Played by the great Vicki Lewis from News Radio.
Okay, yeah. I didn't watch News Radio, but I did recognize her.
We gotta watch News Radio.
I know, we do.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
And she's great, and this, again, I'm giving away all Manor Umbrellas, but this won't be the last time.
So her whole thing is, like, when they ask about if I can have sushi or bologna or wine, and she says, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm probably getting that not quite right.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
And then we're back at Robin's office. Alexis Denisov?
Yeah.
Sandy. He has to send someone to France for, like, some story.
Yeah.
And Robin, like, elects Nora to do it, to kind of get her out of town.
Yeah.
Because she wants to then have free range of Barney. Let's see. Ted shows up at the OBGYN's office in a Team Baby t-shirt under his flannel.
Yeah.
And then it's a little too much, and he's just very invested, and Lily is saying, like, you tend to intrude on, like, our intimate moments, and then we get a flashback of college dorm, and, like, they're, you know, doing it in the bunk bed, and he shows up. So he's always, like, ruining things.
Yeah, he ignores the sock on the door.
He ignores the sock on the door. So they need space. They're not a trio, you know. And Ted is sad about it. Robin is taking forever to tell Cal Penn the story about the assault. Barney is, I don't know why, Barney is running what he calls BDS, Bimbo Delivery Systems, like where he rigs like a phone to like call every woman between the ages of like 18 and 24 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
To, like, call them.
And about, like, breast exams?
About breast exams, yes.
But he has, like, multiple of these things that are, like, always working for him.
The ads are all over the place. So, like, someone's about, like, bound to, like, call him for, like, a breast. What is he, like, offering?
Breast reduction consultation, I think.
Okay.
So he's specifically looking for women with large breasts.
Large breasts. Okay. And then there's like a follow-up where he's like a fake attorney at law called Arnie Linson.
Yeah. Sorry, like, I think that's funny.
If you've been like done wrong by these ads, like call, you know, so he's going to get them from every angle, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I just put pen on my face.
I don't see anything.
Oh. Okay. So Robin agrees to help Barney in this endeavor, I guess. Therapist kind of calls out Robin for trying to like steal Barney back. Like it's obvious to him. So like he tries to challenge her and like, why would you do such a, you know, why are you trying to do this? Marshall and Lily are folding laundry and Marshall feels bad for Ted. And then he admits to Lily that he doubts Dr. Sonia just a little bit. Meanwhile, Lily loves her because, like, she's kind of saying, like, all that, like, you can still drink wine. You could still eat sushi. You can still do all these things. There was something about Barney knowing someone from the Port Authority named Port Authority Mitch.
Right, who, like, calls him when a... like
when a
vulnerable young woman gets off the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. One of Barney's like strategies is to like pretend to be like a gay hairdresser and convince people about his straight
twin brother. Yeah.
And that works on like a busty blonde woman.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ted and Marshall end up going to the birthing class for a class on sensual massage. The teacher is Tammy Sager.
Yeah, yeah.
We love her.
Yeah.
Barney and Robin are packing up Barney's apartment. Why is he Where does he move?
No, they're packing up all his, like, you know, Galgitten stuff.
His Galgitten, yeah. Because he's...
His giant getting stuff.
His giant getting, yeah. Barney says to Robin that she's a real bro. You're a dude. You're a man. You're the man.
Yeah.
And Robin's like, no, I'm not. So she's planning to seduce Barney, but Nora gets back early, right?
Yeah.
And then Robin is eating cake and drinking whiskey under the table at McLaren's, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We finally get to the assault, and it's one of the, like in one of the subway messages to meet women, I guess it works for that blonde girl. Do we know her name?
Oh,
we just call her like insane woman. So she's an insane woman.
Poor insane woman.
And then Barney's at Cafe L'Amour with Nora. And let's see. Okay, in the birthing class, Marshall and Ted learn to honor their body's wisdom. Ted breaks down why he's so connected to Marshall and Lily. He's talking about, like, the baby and their connection. Ted and Robin are chilling on the couch, and they talk about lessons about love. And then we're at Cafe L'Amour, and we see Robin assault the blonde woman outside of the window.
Yeah. And that's the assault.
But
she also says something about how Marshall and Lily's story tied into her story, because they learned a lesson.
Right.
About something.
Like, right.
To try and justify spending half the time talking about Marshall and Lily.
Yeah.
We mentioned... most of the things that I had for stray observations, but I wanted to mention there's one point that I think, like, Marshall questions Dr. Vicki Lewis's advice, and Lily turns evil, and, like, her eyes, like, turn to fire, and it reminded me of Evil Willow.
Yes.
From Buffy.
Yes.
Although
her eyes, like, get black.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, very scary.
Jeff Probst shows up.
Yes.
Because... we find out that Barney's breast reduction consultations were, like, a prize for a challenge on Survivor. Like,
yes.
The winner will get one free breast reduction consultation.
Yes.
So it was Jeff Probst on Survivor.
That was weird.
I thought there was something very, like, meta, I guess, about, like, Neil Patrick Harris, who is gay, playing Barney, who is straight, but then pretending to be... like a gay stereotype.
Yes.
Guy.
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
That was funny.
All right, should we move on to funniest moments?
Yes. So I love all of the Halloween costumes that they had as a triad. So
yeah,
the idea that Marshall and Lily are salt and pepper, and then Ted is cumin.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have salt and pepper without cumin.
Yeah. And then it's Frankenstein's monster, the bride of Frankenstein's monster, and then an angry villager.
Mm-hmm.
There's C-3PO, R2-D2, and the other robot that Luke's uncle decided not to buy.
Yeah.
Lewis and Clark in a canoe, and then Lady and the Tramp and the spaghetti, which is actually a pretty good one.
That is,
salt, pepper, and cumin is very funny though.
Yeah,
that was one of my funniest moments. My only other funniest moment, we see at the end that Ted has kind of learned his lesson because he leaves a sock on Marshall and Lily's door, and then it cuts to Ted chilling at home with his feet up in one sock.
Missing. Yeah. My only other funniest is in the birthing class when Marshall and Ted are leaving, Tammy Sager says, okay, now I'll answer every question you've ever had about vaginas. And Marshall's like, damn it, because we learned earlier that he doesn't know what a clitoris is.
Yeah.
Because he's looking at like a poster of a vagina.
Yeah. And so he, Marshall is bad at sex.
I mean, clearly Lily is pleased with him.
Yeah.
And has been for many, many years.
Yeah, they seem to have a healthy sex life.
But yeah, maybe he does. He just doesn't know what it looks like on a poster.
Maybe.
But yeah, I would have liked him to learn from Tammy Sager about the clitoris.
Yeah. How I Met Your Mother would make it fashion?
I have nothing.
Oh, I liked Robin's long striped sweater dress. It was broad stripes, and it was it was when she was helping Barney pack up his stuff in his apartment.
Yeah.
It was a sweater dress, and it was almost floor length, and it was big broad stripes.
Robin's been looking super cute lately.
They've really turned a corner there.
Yeah, and they've figured out her hair.
Okay, so let's go under the umbrella. I mentioned Robin under the desk. You mentioned Alexis Denisov coming back. Barney wears the ducky tie throughout the episode.
Ducky tie,
Someone gets called a slut. I can't remember. I can't remember what, but that's happened so often on the show that it was but a couple things to look forward to. One, speaking of the ducky tie, we get at the end a flash forward to show that Marshall was late to the hospital on the day that his baby is born. So Lily's in labor and Marshall's not there, but everyone else is.
Yeah.
And if you look in that episode or in that flash forward, Barney is not wearing the ducky tie.
Oh.
So I mean, he's supposed to wear it for a whole year. Maybe something's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't know.
These are the things I'm missing as I'm jotting.
This episode introduced two things. It introduced Robin's coworker Patrice.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin's catchphrase, "No one asked you, Patrice." You'll be seeing a lot of Patrice.
That's
and
funny.
Robin will yell at her a lot.
That's very funny.
What do you have for similarities between the two episodes?
Well, I didn't even go under the umbrella yet.
You did. I keep trying to move this episode on.
Yeah. You're steamrolling.
Yeah.
Basically, you already said it, ducky tie. There are several high fives. And then internet ad pop-ups. Barney's always making websites and internet ads. I guess time for similarities.
You know, real quick, you know what we didn't talk about? And I can't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Barney kept making hashtag jokes, hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
That's just such a timestamp.
This
clearly this episode came out in 2011 when hashtag jokes were still new.
I still do it. I can't say "oh yeah, me too" without saying hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too.
Okay, also similarities. Okay. Casting directors. Joey's actual Days of Our Lives casting directors, and then Port Authority Mitch acting as a casting director for Barney's sex schemes.
Okay.
Breasts being used to soothe people and to obtain people in Barney's case.
Okay. Yeah.
And then, some gay jokes in both episodes.
Of course.
And then... Always. Deceiving friends away from a love interest. So, Rachel, lying about Tag to Phoebe, and Robin lying about things to Barney.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Okay. Ready to play favorites?
3, 2, 1. How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. The transphobia running rampant was just not it for me. And then the workplace sexual harassment, also not it for me. Hashtag me too. Hashtag call HR.
Hashtag call HR. absolutely. That turned me off. How I Met Your Mother here is I liked the change of narrator. You know, having this be a an episode from Robin's point of view as opposed to Ted's.
I love Robin's in therapy. I wish it weren't court mandated.
Yeah. I love Vicki Lewis. We really have to watch News Radio together. It's
okay.
One of my favorite shows.
Okay.
I know it's like tough now because of Joe Rogan and everything, but
But
we didn't know back then.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Let's see. What's next? Catching up. Well, normally we'd catch up on our correspondence here, but we don't have any.
Oh man.
Now it's time for my favorite segment to introduce. It's called "How Were We Doing?" This is where we look at what was happening in the world and the way on the days these episodes aired. Season 7, Episode 4 of Friends, the one with Rachel's assistant, aired on Thursday, October 26th in the year 2000. The day, of course, you and I, being big old gamers, we of course remember the release of PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 2 was released on this day.
Okay.
Can you even remember a world without the PlayStation 2 in it?
Yes.
Okay. You know, we're like in the minority. Like,
I know, yeah.
People play video games, and I'm like, I've said all this stuff on the podcast before. Yes. That, like, I've never caught up to that, and it still seems so weird to me. Also, this is an interesting note. The final film released by a major studio on Laserdisc was released on this day. The film was Martin Scorsese's Bringing Out the Dead.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Top 5 songs in the U.S. on this day. Scrolling. At number 5, Pink, Most Girls. At number 4, Three Doors Down, Kryptonite.
If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman?
At number 3, Creed, With Arms Wide Open.
With Arms Wide Open.
At number 2, Madonna. Music
makes the people come together.
And at number 1, Christina Aguilera. Christina Aguilera, Come On Over. Come on over, baby. Season 7, Episode 4 of How I Met Your Mother, The Stinson Missile Crisis. I still don't really remember why it was called that.
Me neither.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought I was just, like, missing something.
Yeah. The Stinson Missile Crisis aired on Monday, October 3rd.
Friends and mothers, let us know what we're missing.
Yeah. Monday, October 3rd, 2011. Over 12,000... Well, okay. This says over 12,000 prisoners went on a hunger strike. But Wikipedia says this is in California. Wikipedia says it was 6,600. So I'm not sure. But I might be getting it wrong because... So what happened was 6,600 prisoners went on a prison strike to protest a lot of things, including prolonged solitary confinement. They didn't eat for a month, and then the strike ended because the California Prison Board or whatever agreed to make reforms. That was in 2011. And 2 years later, there was a much bigger hunger strike in California prisons, largely because the promised reforms from 2011, the prisoners said they never happened.
Didn't happen, yeah.
So maybe that's why this site is confused. It might have been 12,000 for the 2013 larger. Like, if you go to Wikipedia and Google, like, or search for 2011 California prison hunger strike, it takes you to the page for the 2013 one.
Okay. Because
that's the big one. But the 2011 one was kind of the precursor.
Okay.
That earned them the promise of reforms that reportedly never went into effect. Top 5 songs in the U.S. on that day. At number 5, Gym Class Heroes, Stereo Hearts. I don't know. I don't know anything about that. Those are all... remember what Lisa Simpson says about Yahoo Serious Film Festival? I know those words, but that doesn't make any sense. So yeah, Gym Class Heroes, Stereo Hearts. At number 5, LMFAO, Party Rock Anthem. Oh yeah, I forgot. Man, this is... We're in the doldrums here.
The doldrums of music.
Yeah, so Party Rock Anthem. Yeah. And then at number 3, one of my least favorite songs of all time, Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks.
Yeah.
At number 2, Adele, Never Mind, I'll Find Someone Like You. And then at number 1, a song that I might like even less than Pumped Up Kicks, Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Oof. We were really suffering in 2011.
Yeah.
Our final segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both shows, using only the episode titles as our lantern in the darkness. Let's see how we did last week, though. I said Rachel falls back into her spoiled rich girl ways when she gets an assistant to do whatever she wants. You said Barney is dating una mujer cubana and fails to launch.
That would have been pretty good.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good. So I'm going to look up what the next week's episodes are called, the episode fives, but I'm going to need you to vamp while I do that.
Oh, man. Okay. Organic bread with seeds. Raspberry croissants. Raspberry mousse cakes. Cherry vanilla sparkling water. Red organic juice blend.
Okay, season 7, episode 5 of Friends is called The One with the Engagement Picture. The One with the Engagement Picture. Okay, I'm going to say that, like, Monica and Chandler take a picture to put on their, like, save the dates or wedding invitations or something, you know? But then Monica, being the perfectionist, notices something off about the picture and doesn't want to use it and wants to retake the picture.
Okay.
Okay, so Monica finds her and Chandler's engagement photo unacceptable. Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Season 7, episode 5 of How I Met Your Mother. You're going to love this.
Okay.
What's something you always say you love when a sitcom does?
Field trips.
This episode is literally called Field Trip.
Okay. So, where are they going to go on a field trip? Okay. I'm going to say, is Lily going to take her class on a field trip?
Are you asking me?
No, I guess I'm just asking out loud. But yeah, Lily is tasked to take her class on a field trip and the gang are in attendance.
Okay, all right. I
could tell that that's gang wrong.
Tag along with Lily's class on a field trip. Okay. Are you locked in? That's your guess.
I guess.
Yes. Because you have forgotten that there are two different characters who are teachers on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, fuck.
fuck. So, that's it.
Oh, yeah. They're probably going to look at buildings.
Well, too late now.
Real quick, calls to action in this pod. Were are you a snob about? And I realized you tell me that I'm a snob about water. I think just, because to you, all tap water tastes the same.
Pretty much. I mean, region, like if I'm in a hotel in a different part of the country, I can tell that it tastes different.
Yeah.
But it's not bad. I don't mind it at all.
So yeah, I guess I'm a snob about water.
Okay.
But yeah, what are you a snob about? What's your favorite type of beer?
Yes.
Do you have any favorite couples costumes?
Oh, couples or costumes.
Triad costumes?
Yeah. Yeah. Polycule costumes.
Polycule costumes. Yeah. Why was this episode called The Stinson Missile Crisis?
Yeah.
What did we miss?
Yeah. What do you know about? What's a famous eatery in your in your town that you've never been to?
Yeah.
And
why?
Yeah. And I guess I mean, because sometimes there's like, I don't know, if you're like from Philly and you've never been to like Pat's or Gino's, that I feel like that's almost kind of like a point of pride, like that's not where the real Philly cheesesteaks are anyway.
Right.
I think what I'm talking about is more like something that is supposed to be great, not just something that's famous.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to think what like in Los Angeles, what do people like say I don't know. I've never been to Pink's Hot Dogs. I've had a Pink's Hot Dog, but I've never been to Pink's.
I think that counts as what, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, like, is Pink's supposed to actually be good? Or is well, it just like, an
that's like Roscoe's. Like, it's chicken and waffles. It's pretty basic, right. But it's such a iconic,
yeah.
I guess there are two of them, but.
No, didn't the one on Pico close? I think it's just the Hollywood one now.
Okay, yeah.
But I feel like there's also maybe one at City Walk or somewhere. Yeah. There's like someone. Yeah. There's probably one in Vegas. Yeah. There's one of everything in Vegas. Yes. In fact, I just read, I think, and I'm a much healthier boy now than I used to be. Mm-hmm. But there is a part of me that still loves like fast food chains. And I've never been to a Culver's, even though it's a Midwest thing. It's not a St. Louis thing. And I've heard that Culver's is coming to Vegas. So a part of me wants chicken? To just go. No, it's burgers and like. I don't know. I think it's kind of like a Sonic. I don't know. People who know Culver's are probably shouting at me right now. But their thing that they're famous for is their buttery burgers. That the there's a lot of butter. Which Jack in the Box has a butter burger and it's good. It is exactly what it sounds. Very heavy. But yeah, that's what Culver's is famous for is the butter burgers.
What a burger should have a butter burger.
I've never been to a Whataburger either.
But wouldn't that, isn't that?
Maybe that's the one that's coming to Vegas. Not Culver's. Maybe I dreamed that Culver's is coming to Vegas and it's Whataburger that's coming to Vegas. Because I've never had that either. I've also never had Bojangles. What are some
regional
fast food chains that like you would like to go to but they don't have them where you are? Do you have any like that? You're like, I wish I could go to a Taco John's or
no. No, that's supposed to be terrible,
yeah,
right?
Fuck Taco John's.
No, because I feel like we have everything here that I
want. Oh,
we don't,
though. I just named a bunch, you know?
But that I would be interested in eating.
You never had Lee's famous recipe chicken. Obviously, you don't eat chicken.
Right.
But I grew up on Lee's in St. Louis. Although I think most of them are in like Florida and Georgia. But they come as far up as St. Louis. And Lee's was our go-to for fried chicken. And it's unlike your Popeyes and your KFCs and stuff like that, Lee's, you can actually get like gizzards and like innards and stuff at a fast food place. It's pretty great.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Up until recently, I hadn't been to Baker's and wanted to.
Yeah, Baker's.
And that's kind of Baker's like
drive-thru.
A local fast food chain, and they from the get-go have like an extensive vegan and vegetarian menu.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
So Baker's drive-thru, which you say local, but it's really local to the Inland Empire,
right?
Which is not where we live, but it's just east of here. And Glenn Baker, who founded it, was like all the stuff that all the like McDonald's and Del Taco and Wiener Schnitzel and Carl's Jr., all the fast food chains that came from like Southern California, he was like somehow involved in all of it.
Yeah.
Founded his own that had a vegetarian menu because Loma Linda, California, where they have multiple locations, is like 50% Seventh-day Adventists. And right. Seventh-day Adventists, I guess, don't eat meat.
Yeah.
And so he had a vegetarian menu for the Seventh-day Adventists. It exists to this day. It used to be, their thing was, but this is before Del Taco, the thing was they have like the burgers and fries, and they have like tacos and burritos. And it actually, when it first opened, they had two different drive-through lanes. Like if you wanted a burger and a burrito, you'd have to go through the line twice. They changed that.
Let me get a couple of the ground beef smileys and.
Here's the thing I love about Glenn Baker and the Baker family or whatever. Something that seems so foreign to how most Americans or capitalists think of things is that he never tried to expand beyond the Inland Empire because he was like, I have enough money. Yeah. I have more money. I won't ever be able to spend all the money that I have. Why stress myself out?
Yeah.
And like that concept is so foreign. Yeah. I love it that he was just like, I built this That's successful good. Thing. I don't That's need good. It to keep expanding forever.
Yeah.
But it's good. I like Baker's. Okay. You can find us at that's the episode. You found it. You know how to listen, but you can find a post for every episode at battleshippretension.com. You can leave a comment there. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. That's usually the best, actually. You can follow me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Davey Pretension. Check out my other podcast. It's called Battleship Pretension. It's about movies. Natalie, where do you want people to find you, reach out to you, contact you on the internet?
I don't. But if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers.
Nelly, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes Sean Connery.
Good one. You tell me that like maybe once a week.
I know, but you did. You said it. You said episode like Sean Connery.
Let us know. Oh, give us 5 stars, will you? And if you don't think we deserve it, let us know why. We love some constructive criticism. But yeah, write a review because it really does help people find us.
Yeah.
And helps us to know that we're not just screaming.
Whistling
into a void.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I'm just suddenly frozen with the fears that Whistling Dixie is problematic. Probably is. I don't know.
Anything. Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right.
It probably is.
But until next time, we'll be at TGI Fridays.
Wait, what?
That's where Tag worked.